Hello, guys. Welcome to Clickbait. Yes, it is my voice and not Joe's, but he's here. He is here. He just has a little sinus infection, so he's preserving his voice for the real tea, you know.
Exactly. I want to save it.
Exactly. All right. So we have the Bachelor Nation breakdown as usual, and our girls, Rachel and Gabby, they are hitting the scene already. Their bachelorette duties have started at the CMA Fest. We're going to talk about that. Also, Nick Viall and Natalie. What cuties. They did the Call Her Daddy podcast. We're going to get into that. And Andy Dorfman has some words for the two bachelorettes. She doesn't love it. And we're going to talk about that as well. Blake Moynes joins us, and I'm excited to hear about his trip that he had with Zach and Noah because it looked really freaking cool and wildlife. Let's go. And the clickbait, we're just going to save that for that because it's a lot to talk about with the clickbait. And it was therapy. I need it, Joe. I need it, Tia.
You said wildlife. Let's go.
Yeah. Wildlife. Let's go. That's me. I live a wildlife, baby. Woo! No.
Oh, well, actually, Blake invited me on this wildlife trip.
Oh, he did.
And yeah, we hung.
He said he's not that wild. He's not that wild no more, y'all.
I was just like, Blake, and I like Blake. We hung out in Toronto, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to, but you got the wrong idea. I'm not a wildlife guy. You know,
I'm not an outdoorsy guy. I'm the indoors.
I like the city. Like, I don't think that's a trip.
He said, yeah. I just moved to the concrete jungle.
I was sick in paradise. When I got to I went to paradise twice. I was sick both times because I couldn't handle the weather and the situation. So,
wait, you were sick?
I was.
I
get sick every time.
Food poisoning.
I did. I got sick from the water. I'm like, that's why when he asked me to go do this wildlife, I'm like, it's like on a boat. I'm like, I'll throw up the whole time. I'm gonna lose 40 pounds if I go. Not for me. I'm an air conditioning, indoorsy kind of 5-star hotel guy.
Oh, gosh, guys. Somebody, okay, Joe, the sinus infection is flaring up. Stop.
Especially right now.
I have a sinus infection. I couldn't even do the intro of this podcast. Somebody bring me a wet towel.
Oh, you need your Serena. When are you guys going to be reunited?
Saturday.
Okay.
Serena,
he don't know what to do without you. Look at that.
I haven't seen her.
Are you going home, or is she coming
weeks.
To Chicago?
We live in New York, so.
Well, yeah. You're in Chicago, though.
I know. I'll go to New York Saturday. I could have just answered that easily, but easierly. Is easierly a word? I don't think it is. Okay.
Absolutely not.
I wonder what you would have done what Serena would have done if you did go. She'd be like, Joe, really? You're going on a wildlife trip?
Yeah, no. No. She laughed when I told her.
Oh, I love that. Okay. All right, Tia. Tell us what we got.
Let's just go ahead and get into it. First things first, Bachelor Nation breakdown. Bachelor Nation went all out at CMA Fest to support both bachelorettes, Gabby and Rachel. It was technically their first, like, promo of themselves and their new bachelorette season coming up. I did not get to see them in Nashville. I know they were there just for a brief trip, but I'm sure the turnout was fantastic. I know that Becca and Thomas got to go, Serena got to go, Joe
I was
missed
sick.
It. Yeah. All
I was
in
supposed
support
to go.
Of Gabby and Rachel. Yeah,
they DM'd me and was like, why didn't Tia come say what's up to us? They wanted to know. No,
I'm like, damn. Oh no. I was down there some, but I never got into the thick of Broadway. The big crowd, man, kind of.
I was excited to go. I love Nashville. Unfortunately, yeah, I was too sick to go.
But yeah. It seems like people were really excited and happy that they showed up. Did Serena tell you how it went, Joe? What did Serena say?
Said it was great. So there was so I know it was Becca and Thomas the first day. They, you know, we saw photos of them reenacting their engagement, which is always fun.
Did Becca really get on one knee when she did it the first time? Do we know?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oh, I don't
think so. They seem to be like a picnic couple. Like they're always out like like having like
they
little
have
picnics.
A family. They have a bunch of dogs.
I don't know. I can kind of see her doing it.
So they were there, and then Serena and I were supposed to be the next day, and I wasn't able to go. And then we saw Gabby and Rachel, which people are dying to see them together because they're both the leads of the next show. Curious to see what happens there.
The whole setup was cute, too, the whole little bachelorette setup. And they got to go to CMA Fest, too, which is fun. I'm sure they got absolutely bombarded in downtown Nashville.
Yes. It is wild. Nashville is really, like, there are some diehard fans, Bachelor Nation fans in Nashville.
And it's never people from Nashville. It's always people from out of town. Because typically people that live in Nashville don't go up to people because there's so many, like, country singers and stuff here. You can tell people from out of town that come specifically, like, to meet people. And
so you, like, reality stars don't nobody care. They trying to see the country
stars. They're trying
stars.
To see Reba. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to see Reba.
Luke Bryan walking in the streets. I know, me too.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Gabby and Rachel, from seeing them at the CMA Fest via Instagram, they look happy.
They do.
And
they're still friends, which is always good.
And they're still friends. Yeah, and that was a big thing that they were going to be, put
people
against each other. So they look happy.
Speaking of that, this is kind of out of order, but this does kind of relate. So another one of our breakdowns this week is Andy Dorfman thinks that having two bachelorettes is sexist. So we just kind of talked about that they're still friends. But Andy made a comment in an interview that she feels like having two female leads is sexist, and was saying that she would like to see two men kind of go head to head and go at it. But I don't really think it's sexist because Gabby and Rachel aren't really going at it. Like, they're not competing against each other. They're both trying to find love. So how do y'all feel about the comment that it's sexist?
I mean, I personally don't think it's sexist. I don't know who makes the decision. Who makes the decision of, like, who's the next bachelorette, who's the next lead. I think if whoever makes that decision was sitting there saying, like, we can't just have one woman, we got to have two because they can't carry a show like a man could, then that's sexist. I don't think that was the conversation. I think the conversation was, we had a crazy ending to Clayton season. Both these women got their hearts broken. We believe both of them. It's too hard to choose one. We've never had two. We think it's going to be entertaining. Let's do it.
Because they both deserve it.
Yeah. And that's what I think happened.
They deserve it. And also, everyone has been crying for the show to switch some things up. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Show's been on for a while. Switch some stuff up. I understand what you're saying, yes, and there has been Bachelor and Bachelorette. I think where it comes from is, and again, I'm not Andy, but there are situations where people say, we're going to have two women, kind of like the Tayshia and Caitlyn thing, right? We have two women hosts to take the place of this one guy host. And I think maybe that's where it stems from. And listen, they've done this on many award shows. You know, let's get Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, you know, to host the Emmys or whatever. So I think maybe that's where it came from, if that makes sense. But I do think that the show is just trying new stuff. And the way that their season ended, I would have been heartbroken for Gabby or Rachel if they pick the other, right? So I am more excited to watch this season of Bachelor. If someone was like, okay, you can watch another Bachelor season or you can watch two Bachelorettes, sign me up for the two Bachelorettes. Yeah. Like, well, I want to watch that.
The entertainment, double the love.
Double the love. Yeah, that's where I'm behind it, because if both of these women find love, wow. Great.
Right.
But also, if only one and the other doesn't, drama. Like, whoa.
At least they both got a chance.
Exactly. I mean. Exactly. So, I understand why she probably said that. Also, I'm just going to say, I have heard from, I have some friends that are bachelorettes, and I have heard, and they've been very vulnerable, and they've said things like, you are on top of the world when you are in this position. Everyone's coming at you, and Andy was actually a bachelorette. Why would you want to share that? So I think maybe that could also be something there, that you have to share that limelight, you have to share that. And also, you know, with Instagram followers and all this stuff, what if Gabby's more popular than Rachel? And what if this and that, once a show airs or whatever the case, that can also, you know, add some friction, I think. So
yeah,
you can't worry about that, for sure.
You gotta worry about yourself. You can't worry about if you're Rachel, if Gabby has more followers than you, like, you have to just, like, that's...
But I think that, but I'm saying, if there's only one, then there's no competition, is what I think the point of the reasoning of Andy. So I understand why she's saying what she said, but also I think just from an entertainment standpoint, it's going to be, the show needed to shake it up. This is how they shake it up. And I hope that if it goes well, and maybe they will have two Bachelor guys as well.
Yeah, we never know.
At the same time as that, how cool to get to, like, have someone to go through that experience with you. Like, you are alone in that spotlight, you know, by yourself, navigating it by yourself. But how cool to have someone else to kind of, like, be able to actually share that. Because when you get off the show, nobody understands what you went through unless they have done the show.
Yes.
So these two actually get to go through this whole process together if they let them communicate behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one of the hardest things I think about going on a reality show is you don't have your best friends. You don't have your family. You don't have people to go and get their opinion. So you can actually talk to your friend about, oh girl, let me tell you what he did.
Right.
He did this. He said this. What you think?
Yeah. As long as it doesn't cross lines with, like, ooh, I liked
Joey,
Justin too.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And that's what Gabby said. Like, it's great that I get to do this with my best friend. Yeah. So
we speculate a lot, but we're freaking pumped to see it just as much as everybody else.
Yes,
all right,
yes, yes.
Let's wrap it up. Our third one for today, Nick Viall and Natalie, his girlfriend, appeared on Call Her Daddy to talk about their relationship. Some highlights from this interview. Nick was hesitant to start the relationship because of their significant age difference. There's 18 years between them. And they're not trying to have kids. Those were some standouts from this.
So how old is Nick and how old is Natalie?
Well, Nick's got to be in his 40s at this point.
40s.
Natalie
early
40s? Natalie, we're friends with them. We've been to dinner with them.
Natalie's 23, right?
Natalie and Serena, I think, are the same age, or she might be a year younger. So she's either 23 or 24. And Nick,
she's 23. He's 41.
Okay, cool. All right.
The age, I mean, like,
he seems young. I mean, Nick looks good too.
I mean, he looks good for his age.
I think he's going to look like that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have Serena and I have an age gap. It's an 11-year age gap. It never really phased us. It never really phased me. I'm also quite immature. So I think that helps.
I feel like it phases other people more than it phases the people in the relationship.
You're not immature. But like, I just think once you get to a certain point, you're an adult. And you're an adult dating another adult. And Serena's very mature. You know, like, it's not like you talk to her and you're like, this girl is, like, talking about, you know, whatever, ring pops. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But, like, she's very mature.
I just watched the video on ring pops. So.
Of course he did.
Synergy.
Yeah.
And so I think same thing with Nick and Natalie, like, I mean, and people know, I guess, who follow me, I have dated men that are a lot older than me. So I think age is nothing but a number, for sure. But, they've been living together for a while though. I was surprised about the engagement talk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, it sounded like it's something, like she said, she mentioned something about it being a you know, those tough conversations. I'm like, y'all got a baby dog together. Y'all live together. Well, it's just a matter of time.
Like, you were surprised that they were saying that it was like a conversation that had to be had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was too.
Like, I've been out to dinner with them a few times, and I would be shocked if they broke up. Because they just seem to be really in love. They have great chemistry. So
I think she's it.
Yeah, I do
she's
too.
She's it for him.
I do too.
Yeah, so I was like, it's just a matter of time. I mean, I don't know when exactly, you know, of course, when he's going to decide to do it. But, honey, they're great. they're really, really great. I really like both of them. And I really, really like her. Like, almost like a little more than Nick sometimes.
It's been a long road for this man, but by God, he has made it here. Success.
No shade, Nick. Natalie's great. You want a great girl. You do.
But it also, to actually talk about the topic for a quick second, before we move on, it is cool that they did do Call Her Daddy, because that is one of the largest podcasts in this whole realm of podcasts, and there's thousands of them.
All right, guys. Bachelor Nation Breakdown concluded, and those are our thoughts. You don't have to agree with us if we think. And now for the clickbait of the week. This article was hard to get through, not gonna lie, because I was triggered. Yep, I was. All right, it is talking, the title of the article is, Does No Contact Work After a Breakup? Yes, for 11 reasons. Okay? So, before I ask these questions to the two of you, I'm gonna tell you the 11 reasons. Read them off.
Got it.
Number one, it gives you time to clear your head. It gives you time to focus on yourself. They'll see that you're no longer available and want to talk to you. It gives your ex a chance to miss you. It gives you time for healing. It gives you a chance to evaluate what you actually want in a relationship. It protects you from being consciously or not consciously, continuously triggered, like this article did for me. It protects you from that. It opens up for you to meet someone new. It puts a stop to off and on again cycles with this person. It gives you a dignified breakup, unlike Jasmine Sullivan, bust the windows out your car, just cut it off. And the last one, it proves that there is life after your ex. So, my friends, do you guys think that this is an effective way to get over an ex? Just block them, cut off all communication, don't talk to them anymore. How realistic is that, and do you think it's effective?
I think it's personal. For me, I think it is effective.
Okay.
For me, I you know, I think if you want to move on, or at least if I want to move on, I need to cut that part of my life out so I can move forward. I don't see any benefit in staying in contact with your ex. That's what I think.
Yes. Okay. Tia.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I haven't always done it.
Yeah.
I've like rubbed salt in that wound many times and then wondered why I was miserable. But I do believe it works. And while I was reading this, I thought about the fact that after being on The Bachelor or Paradise, whatever, especially The Bachelor, I went home. I was the final four. So then by the time I went home, there was no way for me to have contact with Ari again. So right. It's like, yes, we were on a dating show, but it was still technically, it felt like a breakup to me. I had no contact with this man. There was no way to get a hold of him. He was still doing the show. So it did help me to move on from that faster because there was no way for me to check in on this man or talk to him or any of that. So it does work. It's just a lot easier said than done when you have access to social media and their phone number and their location and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it works. You just have to actually do it.
Yeah. I also, one of the reasons, I don't think you should do it so you could, so your ex can miss you more.
No, like, I did not like that.
Yeah, like I think that's childish.
Or to try to get them back.
Yeah, or I think you're not facing reality and you still want to be with your ex if that's what you're doing. So. Right. I do think that happens.
I was really surprised they put that in that article. They're like, if you want to play hard to get, if you want to make your ex miss you, you could also do the no contact rule. And I'm like, oh, honey. Oh, no. That is
she said.
Good.
She said, I. That is I.
I mean, yeah, that part does work. But then if they don't actually miss you and don't reach out, then you're like, damn, I just feel dumb.
Well, but yeah, and they also say in the article they will reach out to you. I wrote this down. Hold on. It's a, hold on. They said it is a, like a 60% chance, no, a 90% chance that eventually the dumper will reach out to the dumped if they haven't heard from them. 90%.
Wow. To like check on them to be like, are you okay after I dumped your ass?
To play games, to continue to play games. Like, oh, you're not thinking about me? You know, like what? I always say men have this sixth sense with like the moment you're like entertaining something else. 1,000%.
It is a radar. Yeah. They always know. Yeah. They always know. You download Hinge, here comes the ex. Oh, yeah. I saw your Instagram story.
Yeah, that's what they do. They know. It's so crazy. They're like, oh, she out living her life, doing good, doing great. I saw this thing and it was like, I don't even know if I told you guys this or not, or where it came from. But, oh, a guy goes, I love your energy. And then they drain you of it. Mm-hmm. Yes. They like, girl, you're doing too good. I'm about to come fuck some shit up. Yeah. So right. I really, that statistic of the 90% was crazy. Also, let's talk about the article says 30 days. You need to wait. If you really want to get over someone, you need to wait at least 30 days of no contact. And I'm like, what? For me, I mean, I think that part, and I'll say to our listeners, that part is subjective for sure. It has taken me a year. I've blocked an ex for a year. And after that year, I was like,
it acted like you wait 30 days and then you can reach out again. Or maybe it said 60 days. I'm like,
no, it said a minimum of 30 days to have a real impact. And then it says, but most people, it's a minimum of 60 days. And that's a better idea. And you can wait. So you can wait till you're really, truly healed. That, in that sense, I think, you know, there's certain situations where you have a mutual friends or a mutual friend group or something like that. And you just have to see each other, or you might see each other. And you want to avoid those situations, I think, is what the article's saying, for 30 days, 60 days, you know, because you really want to just cut it off. There's also this podcast that I listen to, and they talk about the different levels of dopamine that we get from, you know, from love and when you love someone. And sometimes the reason why people continue to reach out is like the moment they can hear from you or say anything to you or get any type of attention, it feeds that little dopamine part of them, and they have no intention. And they feel better. Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, oh, so
love is a drug.
Yes. Yeah. Love it.
It's
love,
just temporary love is a too. Drug. It's,
you got to get over it. You got to get through it. So that's where my now approach is, I have to completely block. My last ex did some crazy shit, and I have blocked him on everything. He is blocked on every single thing ever, because I was like, I'm never talking to this person again. And I actually just saw him for the first time in a year, and it was awful. But
how are your dopamine levels?
Oh, it was awful.
Piss poor.
Really? Did you guys talk or?
No, I looked at him like, if you say something to me, I'm gonna throw my drink on you.
I've seen that look too.
Oh, yeah. I gave him the look and he was like, whoop. He kept like pacing around, and I gave him that look and he was like, whoop. He left. So yeah, and then I had a breakdown. It was great. It was fantastic. Woo! But definitely not missing him. Definitely still blocked. Definitely still gone. And I think this article definitely works if you are really not trying to play a game and you're really trying to get over someone, dropping all contact. And I think if you're not over someone, you gotta go through it. Erica Badu tweeted once, girl, bust the windows, call them 1,000 times, do everything you gotta do so you can get over it.
Burn his clothes in the
it's
front
hard.
Burn his clothes. So do hard. It all. Yeah. Do it all. Because, like, restricting that energy is hurting you more. So just do it, girl. You get over it eventually.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to promote violence, but.
I mean, it sure sounds like you are.
But I am. No.
Bust the whole window.
Blow on everything. Don't let them access you. I may have made this up, but I'm pretty sure I saw one time this girl blocked her ex on everything, like all social media, and he reached out on her damn LinkedIn. Like, commented on her LinkedIn.
See, and that is what I call emotional abuse. Hi, right. I don't understand or respect your boundaries.
Yeah.
Correct. That's awful. Yeah. That's awful. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't you gotta move on. Think about you. Get out of here.
If you truly want to move on, you need to move on. And if that takes blocking the person out of your life, that's what you got to do.
Right.
That's what I think. All right. Our next guest, our only guest coming on today, is no stranger of falling in love. He has been on The Bachelorette a few times. Very excited to interview this guy. I consider him a friend. He's a Canadian, like my fiance. Everyone, please welcome Blake Moines to the podcast. Blake, what's up? Welcome to Clickbait. Good seeing you again. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. Everything's good. What about you guys?
I had a little sinus infection.
He still has it. He's barely functioning.
Right. But so for the most part, it's pretty good.
He said he had to show up for you today, you know, because he didn't show up for you the other day.
So I was excited when I heard it was Blake. I was excited. I've done shots of tequila with Blake. We actually got pretty banged up in Toronto one day. So,
interesting.
Tell us about that. Can we hear about that? What was going on? I don't know about that.
I met up with Serena and him midday, and we got into the day drinking, and then the day drinking turned into night drinking, and then it just flowed.
I love a day drink.
We had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was good stuff. Yeah. Okay.
I wish I was a fly on that wall or in, out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There in Toronto, yeah.
Love day. Day drinking is the best. I prefer day drinking over night drinking.
No question.
That's what adults do.
That's how you know you're over 30 is when you enjoy that most.
Probably. Exactly. All right. So, Blake, let's talk about Saving the Blue this past trip. You, Noah, Zach Clark, let's break it down.
How did it come about?
So I guess obviously you guys probably see I advocated a ton on my socials about just wildlife conservation in general. So I made a lot of connections that way.
Let me stop you right there. Give us more of a background of like what you do and why wildlife?
I guess the short story would be I've always been obsessed, like as a kid, always obsessed with wildlife. I would be the weirdo, you know, collecting bugs under rocks and making little ecosystems in jars and just collecting frogs, all those things. And it kind of just, as I got older, the passion just never left. And I went to school and took like outdoor adventure, expedition, survival type stuff, not wildlife related, because I didn't have the marks to get into the zoology and all the things I wanted yet, because I was a jock hockey player and didn't focus on things I needed to focus on. So then I went and worked with birds of prey and things like that and found other avenues to jump back into what I've always was passionate about. And then after I landed off the show and the platform came, I realized how much good I could do with just the advocating stuff that I was doing. I was seeing great turnaround and a lot of change happening with petitions that I put out and seeing, you know, 10,000 petitions being signed. I'm okay, like there's something here, like something with this. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of flowed. And the more that I advocated, the more connections I made. And I realized that how much value I could bring to animals that didn't have a voice. And it just kind of spiraled into this crazy thing that is traveling around working with non-for-profit organizations that are trying to do good for certain species, mostly endangered. And this summer's kind of lined up into a whole bunch of different visits with different organizations, and that's kind of how it spiraled out of control.
Okay, so this last trip that you went on with Noah and Zach, how did that come about, and did you plan that or did someone come to you or
so this organization, I actually have a partnership with an organization or a company that does wildlife bracelets that contribute 10% to certain organizations based on the one that you buy, whether it's a penguin or a polar bear. In this case, it was sharks. And so we made a connection through that company that I work with. And then it's just people knowing people. And then it was like, okay, well, how can we do something where we all win? And that was making a great experience, bringing down some other big personalities that have a great influence, and in turn a great once in a lifetime opportunity to do the things that we did. And then we shot content. We're making a little docu-series on the importance of saving marine species and two shark species specifically that are critically endangered, and another ray. Just that's kind of how it came to be, and it's a great trade-off from organizations. I just try to help them with my platform, and in change I get great experiences doing things I've always wanted to do. So it's been really
fun. Where this past, I don't want to call it, it's a trip, I guess. Yeah. This past trip, Where was the location? Where were you guys?
So we're down in the Bahamas, but not the typical Bahamas that you think, which is there's two islands. So we went to Andros, which is a lot less popular island. It's more remote. And so we went down there and we were in two different parts of the island. One was very remote. We're doing more of an exploration adventure type trip, trying to find a species called the sawfish.
Sawfish.
Yes, it's a. I don't know if you how to explain this.
I'm googling it.
Has like a very long snout. It kind of looks like a chainsaw, and they are critically endangered. And so we're trying to find them in a certain remote area that they haven't. Yeah, kind of freaky looking, right?
Yeah.
And are you guys staying in a hotel? Like, are you sleeping outside? Like, what's the deal?
So Joe, this is where like you would have probably not loved it, right? So like yeah. The first part was in a motel style that got all flooded out. Not the greatest accommodations, but this is where it's fun and getting uncomfortable, right? And seeing kind of Zach and Noah in that environment was kind of fun too, and kind of bond off that.
Were they freaking out?
You know what? This is the thing. I was very specific with who I was like potentially thought. Yeah, that's what it looks like there.
Yeah, yeah. I personally think like Zach and Noah were like perfect people to ask.
Yes.
Not himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, better than me.
Well, listen, sure. Joe, I mean, there's other trips coming up where we're staying at the Four Seasons and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you might Joe, be better.
Like, all right, shine me up.
Well, you know what it is? Water wouldn't have been the best for me. I would have rather, I would consider, like, Africa a safari kind of a thing.
Okay.
I'd consider it.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Listen, it's not for everybody. It's definitely not. And that's why I have to be kind of careful who I choose to come on these things with me, just because the last thing I want, Joe, is you coming out there on day two saying, like, I can't do this. And then we're in some trouble. So,
Blake, I'm looking at one of your posts too, and it looks like you got to hang out with some kids too and, like, maybe teach them about some of the sharks. That's so cute.
Yeah, it was really cool. We went into a school and just basically spoke on awareness and education of the sawfish and just talking about why it's important to try and protect them in that area because they are remote to that area. So we brought in toothbrushes that are wooden and talking about plastics and getting rid of your plastic toothbrush and how it takes thousands of years to break down and how that affects us and how that affects wildlife and just kind of doing little talks like that. Listen, they're the ones that are going to take the reins on things as we move out. Things are not looking good right now. And so the more education we can bring to kids about this stuff is going to go a long way. So
did you find the sawfish?
We did not. We did not. I know. And so that's what sucks, right? And so you think about it, you spend money and you help fund these trips, these exploration trips to try and find them. They're critically endangered. They are hard to find.
Yeah.
So we went out and tried to explore this new area they haven't done before. And that's what's important, was funding these things. And it's tedious and it's not always fun and it's hard work and you're not going to get the results you want all the time, but you just got to keep pushing forward to basically what we're doing is trying to find where they are and how they're using Andros and potentially where their nurseries are so that we can protect those areas and change legislation in the Bahamas to better protect them so they're not being fished and all these things. So lots goes into these trips. It's not always fun, but the exploration part really is.
So educate us. So if you had found them, you would have basically followed it to its home or where its family is. And then how do you save them? Or how do you...
Yeah, like where do you put them?
Then what?
Yeah, then what?
So it's not quite as simple as that. But the whole idea is like... the whole idea is to...
Here they are, throw them in the truck, get the fuck out of here.
So say one is seen, right? That's like, okay, wow. We can now document GPS this coordinates. Okay, one is seen here. So now they can start to focus the research moving forward in this part of the island. What's happening is expansion on coastlines because of human activity is wiping out mangroves, an important environment ecosystem for these certain species to flourish in. And so if we can prove that they're using these certain areas to then stop human expansion and wiping out these nurseries that would otherwise help rebound these populations, it goes a long way. So first we just need to start GPSing and proving that this is where they are. And so when they're critically endangered, then we can put publications forward to help change legislation for the Bahamian government to then hopefully protect these areas more and put more rules on fishing and expansion and all those things. So
there's so many steps.
Yeah. There's
and like
so
by
much
the time you get to that point, the animal could be extinct. Oh, that's that's so sad.
So how many do you think there are, like roughly, of these sawfish?
That's a question that I'd be lying if I said I knew. I'd tell you critically endangered. The next step is extinct. So So it's not
a lot.
It's not good, right? And so it changes. There's a region that they're in from the Bahamas to Florida. The small two sawfish is the one I'm talking about. But again, there's lots of fishing going on in the Florida area. And so they're getting caught up in bycatch, not on purpose necessarily, but getting caught up in fishing for other things. It's not looking that good, but you just got to keep helping fund these organizations that are trying to do their best to make some change. It's a sawfish, right? I think this is what people think of. It's like, well, it's just a fish. It's just this. Like, if we take this out of the ecosystem, what does it do? It's like every animal plays a role. Yes, some more important, have more ecological importance than others, but they all play a minor role in some way. It's like a big Jenga puzzle in a way. You take out an important piece, everything falls apart.
I see.
Do you ever get discouraged? Are you ever like, you know what, I'm just kind of like burnt out? Especially when you get like no results, kind of.
Yeah, I think for most people, I think you can, and you know, a lot of it's negativity, right? All the social stuff you see, I mean, from the news and just general, it's mostly negativity, but there's a reason for that. Things aren't good. We're not doing things the right way. And so, yes, it can be, but I also see the small wins in things. And so if I have the opportunity, I do have an opportunity to change a lot just because of the voice that I have now. If I were to stop, it would just be such a disservice. So I just keep plugging forward. I have a strong like mind in terms of like, you know, when I was in Kenya and seeing the things that are happening out there with poaching of elephants and rhino, all that stuff. I have an obligation, I feel like, to just keep doing this regardless of how negative and sad it can be. Because if I'm not, like, it's a huge loss for them. So I just got to keep plugging away.
Yeah. And it's your passion, at least it seems like. So
yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, that's great. And I'm going to do the best I can to make it out to one of these trips one day.
Maybe we'll do like butterflies or something for you. We'll go into a field and do butterflies or something.
Yeah, that'll be nice. That'll be sweet. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about butterflies for a minute. How has dating life been for you?
I would say, the spring and coming after January, I started to date a little bit more. And it's been fun, but I feel like very cautious with it all. I feel like it's a weird space right now. And then, you know, people always ask me about paradise, why don't you go, all that stuff. It's like, I don't have time to really dive into a serious relationship. I'm all over the world right now doing this stuff. And it's like, how can you take on both? So I've just taken a step back, especially from the bachelor world. And I've been dating, but not very seriously. It's more fun and seeing how things go. If someone really grabs my attention, sure, I'll take it more serious. But right now, it's just kind of like meeting people and still staying connected and making connections, but not very seriously.
So what was that with Paradise? People were talking about you saying you're going to wash up on the beaches of Paradise.
Oh, yeah, we did have that. We had that as a clickbait article.
Yeah, you're just going to boat on over.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, so that's still booked. I'm actually going next week.
Oh, perfect.
You're going next week.
I thought he's being dead ass serious.
No, I'm actually not. I know, but like, listen, the sarcasm is my thing, right? I thought that my sarcasm was spewing when I said that before, but apparently not. People grabbed on that.
I think people really wanted it to be true.
Well, I think
that
you
were
like...
And also, when you go back on The Bachelorette, people are like, oh, he going to paradise.
Why not? No, it was I couldn't even imagine diving into that again. Like, especially just after everything, all the public stuff with how all that, you know, mess went. I was just like, okay, let's breathe for a while here. I don't need to get it back into anything remotely in that drama filled world. No, let's take it there.
So do you think, So I know a lot of the guys, I have a lot of friends who are guys from the show, and yep. they come off the show. They get a lot of attention, of course, from the ladies.
Sure.
Do you think you would want to date someone who was still like in either Bachelor and or like reality or that has some sort of following? Or are you like, forget that. I want to date this girl who's never been on TV, who, you know, and I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I think I see benefits in both. I see benefits in dating somebody from the world that really understands, because I have dated outside of and people don't really get it when I'm posting stuff. Like, they're kind of question things. They don't love it. And this happened once a couple months ago where they just like weren't into the whole thing that I was doing and like showing my face all the time on Instagram and stuff. And they didn't love that, which was a downfall. But I also see people, like, if you're with somebody in the world, it's this comfort supporting thing where you're both in the same thing. You understand each other's work and how this all kind of happens. It's hard to find somebody in that world that fits that. Like, it's not that easy to do. And I think, mm-hmm. I think there's, we would like to have that, but it's not as simple. I think that after this little trip that I did, there are some other females on this trip that worked in the conservation space that yes. after the trip, I was like, it would be so cool to find someone that's really aligned in this with me, because I thought they were just attractive in the way that like they handle things. I'm like, and their passion for this stuff is like, I want to be around this more. Right. And so yeah. it's hard right. to find girls, women in the wildlife conservation space that have that same mindset. So if I could find someone in the world that's like that, they don't have to be on TV. I don't give a shit. If we have the same alignment and passions and goals, and I'll dive into that relationship. I don't care if you have 100 followers or none, and don't even have Instagram. Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's so important to me, I think. And I realized that more after this trip.
Hmm. Yeah. Alignment. Because that's why I say, like, a lot of doctors date doctors, because they spend so much time in the hospital. And if this is something that you want to dedicate your life to, traveling, doing these trips, yeah, it will be hard to just leave whoever at home. Or and so yes. if they could go, that would be great. Because I was going to ask you that. Did you ask any girls to go with you on your last trip? You asked Joe, you asked Noah. Did you ask any girls to go with you?
So I hadn't asked for this trip, because it was the first one I was diving into, like a one that was maybe, I was careful who I selected. But I do, like, there's a crossover happening with a different show for another trip coming up in July. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet. But it is a girl coming with me. And that's the thing, right? Like, it can't be all guys. Like, it defeats the purpose of partnering with people and personalities if I can only go with guys just because. So it's a super professional trip, but it's a crossover from a different show. And she's a female and she's coming with me. So I'll be diving in and bring girls along too. But it's definitely like that weird space where it's like, hey, this has to be handled the right way, because PR can take this and spin this however they want to. If I'm taking a girl or girls uh-huh. with trips, like, is there something there? Is there not?
It's so your it's girlfriend. Like, you're taking like, your girlfriend.
Right. But like, yeah, it can be spun in so many ways. So I got to be careful dating. With that. But yeah. Yeah. So I'll be taking girls for sure.
Nice.
Oh. Natasha, would you ever do any wildlife trips?
Yeah.
No.
And I'm sitting here thinking, who would go?
Natasha's in the Hamptons every other week.
Mm-hmm. No. I remember a long time ago, Blake, we had a conversation, and I was telling you about, I asked you about killing cockroaches or something, or like spiders or something. I'm afraid of spiders. Like, I'm not going on that damn trip. Sorry. I will support. I will repost. I will listen. Well, I'm all about eco-friendly. Save the planet. Save the babies. But like,
Well, like I said, like there's instances where we're not out there remote. Like, there's cool hotels and, you know, Four Seasons, like right up your alley, where you can go spend the morning with dolphins. Then we can go and put you on a cabana and drinks, and you know, we're all good. So it's creating that balance, Natasha.
Yeah,
Natasha and I will be at that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tia, you gotta come too. We'll do a clickbait from the wildlife clickbait.
Yeah, like the more you say that, the more I'm like, this is tempting. Yeah. I'll go say,
Tia, if you could choose one animal or one species that you've always thought is super cool to go do work with, what one would it be?
Sea turtles.
Okay, so that's happening this year, but with somebody else. So
come on.
Strike out there.
Yeah. I love turtles. Like anywhere. Okay. Any kind of turtle. Not even sea turtles. I mean, I'll go golfing with my fiance and I'm like looking for turtles in the pond.
Aww.
Love a turtle. Also love penguins. I know that's not really...
No, those are really cool. That could be happening in November in Argentina.
Penguins.
I love a penguin too.
Joe, what about you?
One
species that you think is super cool.
I like penguins.
I like turtles.
yeah, just, penguins are cool. I think
you were that kid in class that just goes like same, yeah, same, like that answer.
Yeah, I was a kid in class, yeah, like my head was down, you know. I was just like, yeah, I was bad. Yeah. I was not the best student. I'll admit that, you know. But I like penguins. I think penguins are cool. Yeah.
Or like polar bears. Penguins. That'd be sick. Yeah.
Polar bears would be cool. Ah, bears. Ah, I don't know. I'd rather stay away from. Not looking to fuck with a bear, you know.
I'm obsessed with birds and cheetahs.
Birds and cheetahs. Okay.
Yeah. You like these scary things?
Yeah, cheetahs.
Hawks. Not a lot of girls love birds. It's like a phobia.
Birds are scared the shit.
I love birds. I really do. I don't like pigeons, of course, but
right, right.
Pigeons are the death of me here in New York.
Have you ever been in a situation where you were scared for your life out at one of these things?
I think the closest feeling I got to that would have been in Kenya. But when you're with the rangers out there and you see how calm they are, even though there's, you know, hyena and you're hearing lion and you're in your tent and they're right next to you, or, you know, even though they're elephants, you see them as these big, gentle giants, which they are for the most part. If they turn in a second, like, you're done. Like, if they choose, you're done.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, when you're that close in a tent and you can hear them in the middle of the night, like, pulling the grass with their trunk beside your tent, like, that feeling is a feeling you can't get that any other way. And so it's like a anxiety type feeling. But I felt weirdly comfortable in that setting. I think just because, like, I don't know. I feel like I was meant to do this because it just doesn't get me the way it would probably most people.
I feel like the ocean is a scary place altogether.
Yeah.
Because there's so much going on down there that we just don't know about.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The ocean, I think we first dove in and we were in like 4,000 feet of water and you're looking down.
Is it dark?
And it feels like it just goes blue forever, but it feels like you're in space because there's no objects to give you any reference of, like, on that, like a shark will come by or whatever that gives you some reference. But yeah, it makes you feel nauseous in a way.
A shark will come by and give you some reference. Thanks, shark, for letting me know where I am.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Shark.
Yeah. So, okay, if you had to pick land or water, like, you had to, like, hey, Blake, you can only do one or the other, which would you pick?
Land. I've always been more into mammals and, yeah, land. I don't feel as comfortable in water, but I will say I want to do this again. So I'm actually going back, Joe, I don't know if you want to come with me, but I'm coming back to do some silky shark work, research work this weekend. So,
silky shark? Yeah, transplant for the whole
I have dinner reservations Saturday.
Okay, right.
I don't know if I'll be able to get out of it. All right, Blake, I think we're gonna play a game with you. Silky but before shark. We do, just let us know, like, you know, what else you got going on, what's coming up in the future, and then we're gonna play this game.
Yeah, so trip wise, I have wolves at the end of the month. I'm going down to work with wolf pups. Yeah, wolf pups, Mexican gray wolf pups have been born. We're doing a vet check on them and we're going to shoot some content with them. We have sea turtles. We have doing stuff with pollinators and bees. We have sea turtles. We have, what else do we have? Oh, yeah, so there's a South Africa trip probably coming up where we're helping animals that have been snared and turning the snares into jewelry. And so there's some cool things with that and dehorning rhinos to help protect rhinos. So there's lots of cool things coming up trip wise. That's really taken over my summer. I'm going to Portugal too. I'm going to Portugal in August, just a family trip there. So lots going on, hence why I haven't dove into the relationship stuff and just kind of taking a step back. And then that's really the most of it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's not a little. So
that's a lot.
But I mean,
what was Juliet, your
I gotta go. I gotta go chase down some wolves, but that's all I'm doing. This
yeah, wolves are cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite animal, rhino. I think that's where it got started for me. Yeah, rhinos for sure.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right, we're going to do a game.
Sure.
It's rapid fire. First thing that comes to mind when I ask these questions to you.
Okay. One word?
No, it can be a phrase, whatever, but it's just first thing that comes to mind.
Sure.
Rapid fire. All right. Are you an early riser or a night owl?
early riser.
Best dating advice you've ever received?
Go on every day. Like, don't be a wishwash. If you're saying you're going on, go on it. Show up to even ones you're not that excited about, because there you could be surprised.
Who said that?
No.
I go on dates. Like, I don't mess around. Like, if I'm like, I'm wishwash, but I'll just go and just, you never know. Like, you can only judge someone so much through a computer or whatever. Like, people have I've been surprised big time in real life by people. Just because I didn't.
Maybe I need to take that advice, because I'll be like, I'm not feeling it. No, thanks.
Yeah, no. It's going to be an unpleasant surprise. Goodbye.
Okay. Favorite go-to pizza order?
It's all veg now for me, and it's all vegan cheese and stuff. So, like, I don't love pizza as much as I used to.
It's not the same, man.
It's not. It's not.
That vegan cheese does not melt.
I know that. That's why, okay? I struggle with this order every time, but it is what it is. It's veg and vegan cheese. Yeah.
Okay. Call or text?
Call.
What animal would you love to have as a pet if you could have any animal as a pet?
Oof. Oof. Probably a wolf.
Yes. Favorite curse word?
Fuck, for sure. I use it all the time.
We're like 3 for 3 on that, I think. Everyone says that.
Yep. Yeah. I just want someone to come on here and be like, bitch.
Yeah, I would be jokes. I should have thought more about that.
Yeah, fuck. Okay, last person from Bachelor Nation you spoke to.
Ed Waysbro.
Ed.
I've never heard his last name.
Yeah, I did not know that's how you said it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
How do you say
some
it?
Of my shirt. Waysbro. Yeah.
He's going on a trip. You're telling us now?
No, he's not. Oh. He has some of my shark stuff I got to get from him, so I messaged him about getting that back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Last meal on Earth. What are you eating?
Probably like I love Brussels sprouts. Isn't that the weirdest answer? But like Brussels sprouts, like in like oil and onion, is so good.
Brussels sprouts. Hold on a second.
About 3 years ago, that would have been a completely different answer. But I don't eat meat and things anymore, right? So like I've had to change. So, like maybe some vegan ice cream and stuff. Like I don't know. Like
no, Brussels sprouts could be good.
But if it's your last meal on Earth ever.
Okay, I would put Joe's Sunday sauce on it.
That's too kind of you, Blake.
Thank you for that.
No worries. you can put that shit on anything, Joe.
It's true. It's very true.
Okay. What animal were you in another life?
A rhino.
Nice. Rhino.
Yep,
what's
big,
the photo?
Docile, could be mean if they want to, but for the most part, they just do their own thing, a waddle around. It's pretty much you.
Okay. Yeah. What's on your phone screensaver? What's the picture?
Be better than Ivan.
It's just black.
Damn it.
It's just black. I'm like clean. I'm a weirdo. I'm like clean. I don't like things in the background. I want some of my apps are organized. And like, I'm a weirdo.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, a rhino.
An animal. Yeah.
You would think, but like my Instagram page is full of that. So I see, you know what I mean? I don't need that in my life 24/7.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Last one. If you could visit anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Madagascar.
Mm.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
Such like species richness there. So many things you could see there.
You should plan it.
I'd be a weirdo with the binoculars, with the list of all the things, and I'd be checking them off on there, you know? That would be my jam.
That'd be cool.
Nice. I see that for you. You're going to go there very soon.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Blake. This was great. I'm pescatarian. I still don't eat fish. But I haven't ate meat in 5 years now, and I don't know if I'm going to go back. Don't know.
Yeah,
red meat ever.
I do. I love it. Listen, I love the taste of it. It is contradictory of me and a dick of me to know the impacts it has on conservation and then me go talk. Like,
this is true.
I have to walk the walk. You know what I mean?
Right. So that makes sense. That makes
how
sense.
How long has it been since you stopped eating meat?
So I stopped beef and pork probably 3.5 years ago now. But for instance, like on this trip, we're out there, I was served a pork chop. And it's like, okay, I never eat it. If I don't eat this, I'm just having bread and rice. So like I eat the thing, right? So I don't complete, I'm not like completely eliminate everything. It's, I'm just very conscious and I've really reduced, I would say 90% of my animal product intake. I don't say everyone has to go vegan, go extremist, but we just all have to be better. So like, that's all, that's how I talk about it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not to bring up Kendall, but Kendall would do that too. Like if she was traveling in a different country and it was a delicacy there, she would eat meat. There.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I respect the cultures and those things. Like we're in Kenya and they're eating goat. And I don't like goat at all, but like they serve it to you and they're excited to serve it to you. And it's goat and it's cartilage stuff. And I don't like, but you eat it. And you
it's not a gas station chicken tender. You know, it's
that would be, I actually don't like goat either. I actually think
I would be eating air. I would be like, I'm not eating that.
Eating air, yeah.
I'd be eating air. I'd be like, guys, the air looks different here.
All right, well, Blake, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Let our listeners know where they could find you on social media before you go.
Yeah, just my Instagram really is the only thing that's really rolling right now. Eventually, I will have all my YouTube stuff on YouTube, all these cool adventures that are going to docuseries on YouTube. Just people can check that out and all the work that's happening with that. And you can check out other personalities that are coming along with me. But yeah, just my Instagram is where you see most of my stuff at my name. So
great. Cool.
Thanks, Blake.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank
you. I'm a little surprised. I really did think Blake was, we were going to see him in paradise. I would have lost that wager. I thought Blake was going to be in paradise.
Pay up, Joe. Pay
up. I couldn't tell.
Oh, I did. I thought he was going for sure, but he's out there living his passion and he's doing better for the world. So
that doesn't mean we don't see him in paradise next year or the year after that.
You never know.
Sure.
You never know.
Right.
And if there are women listening, which I'm assuming there are, and you are single and really into wildlife, that seems to be
that would be so ideal to have.
Oh my gosh, DM Blake, DM him a picture of a rhino and say, "Hey,
there you go."
His DMs are going to be blowing up now. Love it.
It's worth a shot. You never know.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much to our listeners, and thank you to Blake for being here today.
Yes, and as always, make sure to subscribe and listen. We want to hear all your burning questions. Send them to us. Check us out on social. Like, comment, DM us. You know where to find us. ClickbaitBN on Instagram. All the links to our socials are right there on that page.
And share your stories with us. We want to know what clickbait you guys are looking at this week. Clickbait is available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen. You can listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. We'll see you guys next week.